ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Yahoo!
And Tim Kalpakis.
What is up?
And we're your hosts, the Sloppy Boys.
Hey, how's it going?
I didn't have anything. I kind of was looking at my levels and stuff on my computer, and when you said, I'm here with Mike Hanford, that's the first thing that came out. Yahoo.
Mike, you think like a producer. You're not just here to be funny. You're looking at the levels. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Are the levels good?
The levels are bad.
That's how Lorne Michaels knew that he was a producer, is he said he had his own show, a variety show on Canadian television, but he was watching the raw footage from his show, and he said he noticed himself, you know, looking up, checking the lights and looking around at the crew, and he said, I'm a producer. And I feel a similar thing going on with you.
He was working on the budget on camera.
Yeah. And you then he turns the camera and said, someone should eventually base Dr. Evil on me.
Who?
Okay.
Which is weird.
Sir? Maybe later.
Yeah, but he's a producer.
And to this day, he still looks at the lights.
He does.
Well, guys, we don't have a lot of booze news today, huh? Is that what I hear?
What? You're dead
wrong.
Where'd
you hear that from?
Hit it with the theme song.
Pretty good.
What a journey. That was a chill ambient theme called Boo Snooze. Ooh. By Professor Michael Racino, PhD.
Wow.
Wait, now, so this guy, he's a sociology professor who made that, and he asked us if we play it on the show, can we also plug his new book, Debating the Drug War?
No.
Do we want? No,
we don't.
I don't think that Dr. Dickhead gets to come on here and boss us around.
We decline your terms.
Well, could you pay me to?
Yeah, right. How about this? Folks, go out and buy that book, rip the pages out, and wipe your ass with them.
No. That was a very cool, that was chilled out. It took me a second to realize it was all, was that all Tim talking? Is that all Tim's voice?
I heard Jeff. I thought pretty good.
I heard, yeah, pretty good sound
pretty
like
good.
Jeff.
Pretty good. Well, I sound like that normally.
That was good. Very inventive. And the scratching. Oh, made me think
the
of
the scratching.
The early days of hip hop.
Error.
Here is today's top booze news story.
Oh.
Hey, have you guys ever been to one of the Taco Bell cantinas?
No.
Have I been to a Taco Bell? It's one that kind of looks like old, like an old building.
They serve booze, right?
Yeah, they serve booze, and they've been kind of rolling them out. They did them in some test markets a few years ago. And
well,
now,
these are new.
These are new. Well, the concept is new-ish, and then it worked for them, so they've been opening some up. But there's like a flood of them opening right now, and I heard that this very month, they opened up a new Taco Bell cantina in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeehaw!
Right down there, downtown on the Honky Tonk Strip, and it has live music.
Oh, man.
At a Taco Bell?
That's cool.
It's a Taco Bell.
That is cool. Man, I love Taco Bell. I would eat that. Whew. I would eat it. I would eat it.
I'm with you, man.
You would.
If they gave it to me, I would eat it.
I would eat. Every time you guys were on our text chain recently, I was like, Mitch, have you had the quesalupa? It's so good. Every single time I go there, I have some new concoction. I'm like, yep, they got me again.
And your point was that, like, you think they can't outdo themselves or, like, different combinations, right? Just make up.
Yeah, because it was just another layer of a fried taco shell and some cheese, but it was done in just the right way. Yeah. But look at these, the cantinas. Here are the drinks they have. Featured on the alcohol menu are regular drinks you can mix with vodka, tequila, whiskey, rum, and gin. You can also spike any of Taco Bell's signature freezes, like a Baja Blast, Margarita Freeze, or Blue Raspberry.
Wow. Mm. They know what they're doing.
What do you think? Which one of these? I think I would get a Margarita Freeze and spike it with tequila. Play it safe.
I would see if they could put some of that tequila in like a Dr. Pepper and see what that's like.
Oh.
Flaming Dr. Pepper?
We got to do that Flaming Dr. Pepper soon. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would do that. I would do, I don't really know what Baja Blast tastes like. I just know it's like a meme. So I would say like, well, when in Rome, give me that Baja Blast and put some tequila in there, I guess.
Can I admit something?
When in Baja.
I didn't know what a Baja Blast was.
What? It's their signature Mountain Dew flavor.
Oh. They made it?
It's exclusive to Taco Bell.
Oh. I'll try it.
What do you think the blast part is? Baja is a large peninsula in Mexico. The blast?
I think it's probably like an Arctic blast.
There you go. It's a, it's a cold, windy blast of snow.
Yep, I think.
Okay, well, any slopheads in Nashville, maybe this summer you pop into that music venue and tell us if you saw any good shows, because I think that that's where the Sloppy Boys, we haven't played the American South. We've no, neglected we the whole middle of the country other than all Chicago.
All that history. We're going to go play at the Taco Bell.
Yeah, right there. This is where all the big Nashville acts were discovered at the cantina.
Jeff, I don't think that's fair. I think Taco Bell is an institution and it really does have a history.
Oh my God. All right. He sounds
I don't
nerdy,
think that's fair.
I got to, is that it for traditional booze news?
Traditional, and then I was going to end with a movie recommendation like I did last week again.
All right. Well, I'm going to snake in a little thing I have here.
Great.
It's not new as of this year. I guess it came out last year. I tried Pabst Hard Coffee.
Oh, what'd you think?
You guys had it?
Tim has had.
You've had. I thought it was okay. It's a little like thicker and milkshakier and a little stankier than I thought it was going to be. But I liked it on ice.
Yes.
What is that's kind of how you're supposed to do. It's a you like you wouldn't warm that up, would you?
No, but even cold in the can, I was like, not cold enough.
Not cold enough.
Now, Michael, is that a real question? You're gonna buy a can? You're gonna go to the fridge, pick out hard coffee.
Yes.
Bring it home, pour it into a teapot, and bubble it up. Oh,
yes,
boy.
I mean, that was a real question. I don't do joke questions or joke. I don't really joke around at all on this podcast.
Jesus.
This is Christ. All from the heart, Tim.
Well, that changes a lot. I really got to rethink a few things.
But they are kind of like a Starbucks drink that you can get at like 7-Eleven, you know?
Like those
like
double
the Frappuccino,
shots.
Like the double shot.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a general rule. Almost anything coming out of a can, if you don't like it, pour it on ice because they're always kind of too strong, too sweet, too something.
Yep. I think a general rule of Jeff is if you're going to give him a drink, put it on ice and put more ice if you have ice in it. This guy, love it to ice.
The ice is nice.
I want those cubes.
Yeah, he wants the cubes.
Give me those cubes.
I could go for a tall, cold cube right now.
Mm. Yeah, frozen cold cube of beer that you have to melt down.
Get it nice and hot.
Get nice and warm.
Sip it slightly.
Too hot. Dump it out.
Here's my film recommendation. Have you guys heard of a documentary called Hey Bartender?
Nay.
No.
It's from 2013. I watched it back then, But the reason this is Booze News is because I just found that it's on YouTube. And that's the best when you when a feature length movie is free on YouTube.
How's the quality?
Very. I mean, I want to say something like 780p.
Okay.
Now, what's the P stand for? Pixels?
You don't want to know.
Yes.
The movie pixels?
It's like vertical pixels.
Oh, vertical pixels. Oh,
right.
That's
this movie didn't have any horizontal pixels. It was just one tall line.
Just a straight line, like watching a big column.
Well, this movie, I watched it back when it came out, and it's sort of like a document of the cocktail revival.
You were documenting.
So it's a very fun rewatch because it's the kind of thing is that's guaranteed to not age well. You know, it's like kind of a bunch of young millennials being like, we're making cocktails. But what's great about it is it kind of, with the whole kind of hipster cocktail movement, one of the characters is a guy, a middle-aged guy in Connecticut who owns a sports bar, and he's trying. It's almost really sad. He's trying to keep up. He needs to rejuvenate his business, so he like buys a fedora and starts learning about cocktails. Anyway, it's a real time capsule, and we're in that weird age of like watching it 8 years later is just perfectly wrong. And it's on YouTube.
You said it's an O from 04?
2013, but it's about the whole previous decade.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, like we're far enough removed because like we used to be too close to 2013 that it didn't really look like anything.
Yeah.
And now there's been enough separation. You can look back and be like, oh boy, that's classic 2013.
It is so weird that is, I do think you need like 7 years and we're now like eight. You can't judge the decade you're in until it's just closed. And then you're like, remember those shoes?
Yeah. You know what's weird about this current couple of years we're in is like it's so distinct with Trump and COVID that it has like such a calling card of a year that I don't even know. Like 2013, I couldn't even tell you what was happening then.
Yeah, no, it's just a gray area. That's why you got to watch this doc.
Yes. Yes, I will.
Yes. Well, is that it for Booze Snooze?
It certainly is.
Do 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 do.
Boo. Okay, today's cocktail. The Hemingway Special, a.k.a. the Hemingway Daiquiri, a.k.a. the Papa Doble.
Whoa. Hemingway the writer we're talking about here. Not this isn't like a guy who made up the drink who was also named Hemingway.
This is the guy who loved to type.
This is interesting because I'm such a Hemingway fan, such a fan of his work. Mm-hmm. He's got such a distinct, direct style, and I was just curious if the drink is going to be direct.
Oh, because you think that your thing about Hemingway is you think he writes one true sentence and then he builds from there, speaking directly and tersely with brief.
Oh, Tim, it's like you're reading my mind.
And then Mike, I can just picture you taking a sip of this thing and going, this tastes nothing like his writing.
This tastes not like Page nor ink.
Page or Gordon.
Watch yourself.
This doesn't remind me of a book.
No. If anything, it reminds me of water.
Have you guys, I'm assuming you haven't had it, but have you heard of this?
I have not had.
Not had.
Well,
not heard.
Not heard.
I'm not even really sure what a daiquiri is, I'm sad to say. I thought I did, but I don't.
Well, everyone thinks a daiquiri is a big old milkshake like a strawberry daiquiri or a Bud Light out of office can that is flavored like strawberry daiquiri. Mm-hmm. But the original daiquiri that was invented in Cuba is just rum, sugar, lime. Very simple. And that was a thing that existed 100 years ago in Cuba. And hey, it's on the IBA list, so we're going to get to it eventually. But this drink, at a bar restaurant in Havana, Cuba called La Floridita, they took the original daiquiri and they turned it into the frozen daiquiri with some chipped ice and stuff.
That's what I'm used to.
Yes, yes, yes. And that was a big hit. The owner, this guy Constantino, had a big hit by making those frozen daiquiris. And then one day, Ernest Hemingway walked in and he tasted that daiquiri and he said, double the rum, lose the sugar.
Sir.
I like this dude.
Double the rum because he's a tough guy. Lose the sugar because he was secretly diabetic and couldn't have sugar.
Ha, ha, ha.
But he was so macho. Yeah, I don't think that I think that F. Scott Fitzgerald like had tuberculosis and nobody and never told anybody. I think during that era, it was a sign of weakness. So you just kind of were like, yeah, take the sugar out.
I'm fine.
So they started making the Papa Doble, because Papa Hemingway double, which was just no sugar and double the rum. But then eventually
now, that drink was... what do you mean Papa Hemingway? Is that what they called him?
That's his nickname when he was old. He had a big white beard.
I guess I hadn't heard that.
So a Papa Doble was just a double of rum with lime?
Yes. And chipped ice at the time.
Oh.
Very, okay. Very dry and a bit too intense for people, but they did want to honor old Papa. Mm-hmm. So they kept it on the menu, but this bartender, Constantino, he changed it over the years to soften it a little bit. He added grapefruit and he added maraschino liqueur. Some people say, what do you guys say?
I say maraschino, but I'm a plebe.
Damn, I thought you were going to say you were an expert on how to say that word.
Maraschino, because it's in a sort of a shiny jar.
So for no reason, they added the grapefruit and the maraschino. Hemingway never had that, but they wanted to have his sugarless version on the menu. And then that got popular. That bar is still in Havana today, La Floridita, cool. And you can still go drink that. And the current recipe is 2 ounces of rum, ideally light white rum, 1 1/3 ounces of grapefruit juice, 1/2 ounce maraschino liqueur, like, for example, Luxardo or one of those, 1/2 ounce fresh lime juice. Pour all ingredients into a shaker with ice. Shake.
Hey, we're back to the shakers. I love
nice.
Strain into a double cocktail glass.
Oh, what the hell is a double cocktail glass?
Served up?
Served up. I think a double cocktail glass is one of the bigger martini glasses.
I might put in mine into a rocks glass.
Yeah, Tim, when I hear served up, my face gets red.
Yeah, I can tell. I'm looking at you.
I need to cool it down with cubes.
See, this is what I was talking about before. He loves ice. He loves ice.
Now, you don't think they called it Cuba because they had ice cubes there and then they chipped them up into chipped ice.
I can't believe that.
That's just weird.
Too much.
That is weird. That's too weird.
If it is the case, I like personally kind of like it pisses me off a little bit.
Wow.
Okay. Would making a drink make you feel better?
It would really honestly put a smile on my face.
Well, shall we?
Let's do it.
We'll be right back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Sloppy Boys is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey folks, Mike Hanford from The Sloppy Boys here, and I wanted to ask you, do you ever have this feeling like you got to get something off your chest? You know, you're walking around with something and you go, I just got to tell someone this, I just got to fix this thing. It happens to us all. We all carry around these different stressors big and small. That's just how it is. But when we keep bottling it up, it can start to affect us negatively, and that's not good. But therapy is here to help. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work on whatever's weighing you down. Now look, you know me. I've been to therapy. I'm the therapy guy. I love it. And I gotta say, it does help when you go in there and talk to the therapist and say, you know what? My two co-hosts piss me off on a daily basis. It's weighing me down. What am I gonna do? That, of course, is a joke example, but you get what I'm saying. You can tell the therapist what you're feeling, and they'll help you learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Now, listen to this. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. That's right, you. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. That's pretty good. So, folks, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/sloppyboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sloppyboys. Go in there, talk to somebody, get it off your chest, have a great time. Hey folks, we want to slow down for a second and talk about a podcast we love called You Are Worthy with Lil Mookie B. It's a podcast about empathy, therapy, positivity, and love, among others. Comedian, actor, and social media influencer Michael Mookie Blakelock, aka Lil Mookie B, began attending therapy just a few months ago. And instead of keeping the gifts of therapy to himself, he has decided to spread the love and positivity throughout the world by sharing the message of therapy and making sure that people understand that they desperately need therapy too, so that they can be just like him and have empathy just like he does. Wow, what a mission he's on. Each episode, Mookie welcomes your favorite comedians and improvisers, other than himself, of course, upon the podcast. As if that wasn't enough, he will share with you what he's learned in therapy that week, lead you through guided meditations and affirmations to help you through your boring everyday life, and answer life advice questions from listeners whose lives are falling apart. It's a great podcast. What can I say? We love Mookie. He's helping people. He's doing the work. You have to check it out. Listen everywhere podcasts are listened to, and remember that you are worthy with Lil Mookie B.
And we're back discussing the Hemingway daiquiri.
Yes, the Hemingway. Where's he from?
Oak Park, Illinois.
Oh, well.
The reason I wanted to do this cocktail is because I just watched the Ken Burns series about him, and we'll drink. Wow. We'll drink our drink, but I wanted to tell you something funny about old Ernie.
Papa.
I can't believe how much of this I spilled on the walk back here, boy.
Did you put it in a martini glasses are tough.
Yeah, thing's empty, man.
If Jessica's trying to find me later, I'm just gonna say follow the trail of grapefruit liquid.
Hold up here. I can see Tim's drink. Jeff, hold yours up.
Ding.
Oh, okay. You've got a real doble.
Why does mine look like this?
Did you make a Shirley Temple?
It's because you went ruby red, Mike. You went ruby red.
These guys have a pina colada looking thing, and I have a big pink cup.
You look like you just have a cup of red number 40 food dye.
I used pink grapefruit juice.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, okay. That's as I saw yours, I was like, was it grapefruit juice? We were supposed to get a pineapple juice.
But yours is, Mike, did you use maraschino liqueur or did you drip maraschino cherry syrup?
Maraschino cherry syrup.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I did.
Oh, the Discord is going to have a field day with this.
Oh, the Discord. Hey, I got to check in with those guys. Are we okay over there?
You got to check in with those guys. Well, they are not going to be happy with you.
Oof. When you were saying maraschino liqueur, I was like, surely he means the thing I have here, maraschino juice. Because I picked it up. I picked it up because we knew it was maraschino juice, and I just got a bottle of maraschino.
What kind, is it like the Trader Vic kind?
I don't know what the hell it is. It's over in the bar cart, and I'm plugged into my ear pods here. I can't go over.
Well, we have vastly different beverages, but yours might be very good. You might win.
All right.
Let's sip.
Sips. There we go.
Ooh.
Oh.
Very, very good.
Oh, me like
now, Mike, I can only imagine what you're tasting right yeah. now. But
I'm getting sort of a fruity cherry bouquet.
I'm getting a little bit of a syrup cup.
Syrup. Well, I'm getting the syrup effect.
That's such a funny drink for you to be sampling because it's also kind of a lot of the measurement is pretty high. So you are drinking a Shirley Temple.
Well, isn't a Shirley Temple? I did put rum in it.
There you go. Okay, let's give our first reactions to our respective concoctions. Jeff, what are you thinking?
It's good. You know, I went with the picture with the recipe I was going off of was this yellow. So I was like, I got to get real normal grapefruit juice that's not Ocean Spray Ruby Red or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I got like pure unsweetened grapefruit juice and I cringed as I bought it because I was like, this is going to be tart, and I'm not going to like it.
Did you try any before the drink?
I did. I took a sip of it as I was making it. I was like, nah, it just tastes like normal grapefruit juice. So I am liking it, but I am noticing like, yeah, that maraschino liqueur really does have its own taste.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, on the grapefruit front, I was just thinking that when you're buying grapefruit juice, you're like, should I get the normal white yellow stuff or should I get ruby red? And when we were kids, ruby red was all the rage. But with an actual grapefruit, I bought a real grapefruit and I juiced it and it was pink inside. And I don't think I've ever had a yellow or a white grapefruit fruit before. I've only had the juice.
You haven't?
I haven't either. But I think I have heard of white grapefruit. I think that's a thing.
Now, Mike, 1 year for Lent, you gave up your mom's grapefruit for breakfast.
Right. I have to give up something, not just for breakfast, anytime. Because I would have it for a snack before bed. I would get
grapefruit.
But it was
specifically the way that your mom prepared it and sprinkled sugar on it for you.
Yeah, anyone could do her style, but I just said, from her?
Yeah.
No, I got to abstain this for 40 days.
I remember at that time, a lot of people were trying to do the Janet Hanford style too.
Yeah. And they didn't get just a thick coating of sugar on the top the way she did.
Michael, tell us, how is that drink?
Well, first, before we step off to me, what does yours taste like? What, any comparisons in the real world?
It's pretty complex and it tastes kind of fancy, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
It's like,
it's just that maraschino makes it complicated. Otherwise it would be grapefruit juice and rum.
What does that taste like? The maraschino?
So basically maraschino, I think it's from Croatia and then Luxardo is an Italian based brand that makes it. And that's what we have. It is made from cherries, but it's not just the cherry. I could be way wrong because I often am, but I thought I heard somebody say in passing that this liqueur, it has like the cherries and the leaves and the stems and like,
that's what it tastes like.
Yeah.
So like it's earthy then.
It tastes like a cherry tree.
Yeah.
Ah, watch out, George Washington. You don't get to come around.
I got to batten down the hatches so he doesn't come in here chopping.
I've chopped your tree.
That wooden toothed fuck?
Hey. Watch Hamilton. Just to watch Hamilton.
Do you guys want to pause while I go watch Hamilton on Disney Plus and I'll come back?
I have time. I'd actually like to see that. Yeah, so that sounds interesting, the earthy flavor. This is just like,
must be good.
It tastes like a fruit. I don't taste the rum at all. It just tastes like a fruit juice. It's great.
Hawaiian punch.
It does taste like a Hawaiian punch with, and there's rum in there.
It's a rum punch, a swizzle or something like that.
That really bums me out because I saw the maraschino on my bar cart. I was like,
you look like you couldn't be happier.
Really?
Well, that's
so
rum.
Funny to be sipping on an electric red drink. But yeah, that really bums me out.
this isn't right. Because I saw on my bar cart, I was like, okay, I gotta get this drink ready. Oh, got the maraschino. Great, I don't have to get like some useless thing I'm never gonna use again. And I had an easy time finding all the other stuff. Here we are. But this is good.
I'm getting like all the citrus Jeff, do you feel like you're kind of have a citrusy sour thing up top and then the whole maraschino just takes over right at the end and says,
yeah,
mm-hmm. Hey, I'm a little fancy down here. Don't forget about me.
Don't forget me.
Jeff, you mentioned the Discord. Are the Discord, is that my rep on the Discord that I don't get the drinks right?
No, Mike.
No. You nail it every time.
Is there like a whole chat room talking about?
They call you
the handman. Does the gang get his shit together?
No, it's more like mixologist Mike. He did it again. Oh my god, the perfect mix.
Yes, he's exploring frontiers of drink making. Good.
I guess you are. We're following very strict recipes, and you're exploring frontiers.
I'm winging it. You gotta wing it.
You at home can get on the Discord by joining the Sloppy Boys Patreon at patreon.com/thesloppyboys.
Oh, you have to be, that's right. You have to be a patron, a patron, yes, to get on the D.
Yes, to get into the chat rooms.
You got to be a P to get on the D. I love it.
I like that this is not that sweet. I like it without the sugar. Maybe from now on I use Luxardo instead of sugar.
That stuff's pretty sweet though, and sticky. I know because, I came by your place today with a little bottle and a little funnel, and I took a little bit to bring back to my house. And sure enough, my hands were sticky the whole way home.
Dude, you know what I would have done if I knew it was this sticky? I would have poured some out on my front walk so that when you came by, it was like Home Alone, and you're like, Tim, I'm stuck. And then you look up, boom, paint can in the forehead.
Yeah. You're down for the count.
And there I am praying and eating my mac and cheese.
Reading Buzz's porno magazine.
I heard that the first cut of that movie, there was like a whole middle hour where he looked at Buzz's porno.
Oh. Mm-hmm. You do know about that? Remember when he looks through Buzz's chest and he picks out the picture and he's like, Buzz's girlfriend, woof.
Yeah.
That is somebody on the crew. I think the art director's like a son.
Son in a wig. Yeah.
Yeah. Son in a wig. Cause they didn't want to be mean to a little girl. So they're like, you dress up. It'll be funny. And he looks funny.
And they did it and it worked.
They probably gave him body dysmorphia, but fine. I'm happy it was good in there. Fine.
Sure.
Got the laugh.
Sure. The residuals don't hurt for that young man, but whatever.
Ooh. You know, it's good.
It's funny, I went rogue on this recipe. For those of you who listen to The Blowout, there's some similarities that are happening with me and recipes.
You're a recipe genius.
I'm recipe.
So, Mike, did you
fuck up?
Did you? I want to know if you know how they discovered like Silly Putty? It was an accident.
Mm-hmm. I heard Nerf was an accident.
Is it flubber?
And penicillin? What was it? Penicillin was an accident or antibiotics? Yeah.
That's probably how they came up with the penicillin drink.
Hey, now, in this little mishap today, is this a happy accident that's going to go on to become the drink of tomorrow?
It's fine. The problem is, I think I could get what I'm getting out of here a number of ways. this taste is just like sugar and rum that you can't taste.
But there's a rich history of having variations on drinks. Like we said, the Papa Doble, you could be the Papa Dumbass, as you. Watch it. Watch it.
You're quick, Tim. There's no way you could have written that ahead of time. It's too good.
I wrote it. I printed it out. And then I said, wait, no, where did I put that?
I just hope Mike fucks the drink up.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about Ernest Hemingway because a funny thing happened to me while watching this Ken Burns doc. Do you guys, you know anything about him? Like, like the macho, like he's fishing and then he's skiing
he's like a bullfighting guy.
Yes. Bullfighting is a big one. And the reason that this new documentary is good is it's kind of like examining that for the first time, they're kind of dispelling a lot of the rumors being like, oh, he may have been kind of portraying that image because of insecurity. They also talk about like some kind of gender stuff. Like, he like in bed with women, he liked for them to call him their name and did some role play and stuff like that. And they're always kind of hinting like maybe he was kind of figuring out his sexuality, but public facing, he was almost like a Caitlyn Jenner type of thing where, I remember hearing that in an interview. It's like, oh, if you're going to make me be a man, I'm going to be an Olympian and be the ultimate tough guy or whatever. So they're in this documentary, they're kind of insinuating that about Hemingway and a lot of different things, and just like the man behind the myth. But
is this one of those Ken Burns documentaries that's like many long parts?
Yeah, it's like 6 hours.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So there's a lot of...
When is the guy going to make digestible content for once in his life? Yeah.
Clickable, I mean, he's like the guy, the only guy shareable. Who does that.
Yeah.
Clickable, shareable bites.
These aren't shareable. I can't say watch this 8-part thing, my friend.
I mean, have you tried to watch Ken Burns' TikToks? It's like he barely gets to even like the first sentence.
Oh my God.
Peter Coyote gets maybe 2 words out. Anyway, so... I kind of was wishing there was more booze talk in the documentary. There was some fun stuff like World War II ended and he went to the bar and had 50 martinis and cause he's like a big,
over a year,
in one big cup.
Come on.
A thing that made me laugh is he calls depression black ass, and he had like diagnosed depression. So he'd be like, I got the black ass bad today. Lots of funny things, but here was my main takeaway. He's tough, right? He's bullfighting. Mm-hmm. He's doing all this stuff.
Yeah, he's like us.
But it's a long time. He's like us. It's a long time ago. You don't hear him. You never hear his voice. Mm. So I'm like 5.5 hours into watching this tough guy be all macho. Mm-hmm. And then he wins a Nobel Prize and he grants a TV interview. Someone like comes to his house in Cuba to interview him. And I had never heard his voice before. And I brought you guys this little clip. This is real, by the way. Lots of times I set up bullshit on the show, but this is a real.
What era is this? Like, when did he live and
this
die?
This is 1954. So he's in his mid-50s, just won a Nobel Prize, and a TV guy comes to interview him. Now, more importantly, picture me on my couch watching this macho man thinking, this guy is a real badass. And they kind of casually mentioned before this interview, they're like, also, by the way, he had a lot of anxiety about public speaking, so he had never really spoken in public before. But, you know, when he won the Nobel Prize, he did do a few interviews, and then they play this.
Could you tell me a short description of what your new novel is about?
The book that I am writing on at present is about Africa, its people, in the part that I know them.
Oh boy.
The animals,
comma.
Oh.
And the changes in Africa since I was there last, period.
Whoa.
He asked for the questions in advance. He pre-wrote his answers and he had a cue card on the floor and he's reading the cue card and he said the commas and the periods.
Weird.
And
like, if you're like a writer and you know language and how to write so well, you know that you don't say those things.
I should hope that the whole time he was writing novels and putting commas there, that he didn't think that people were reading it to themselves and be like, comma, period.
I thought it was
weird.
I thought he was talking about karma, but no, he did say.
He said, comma.
Comma.
And
period.
Now he eventually, he like battled with mental illness and was depressed and bipolar and alcoholic and had concussions and stuff. So some of those could be contributing, but that's not the way this documentary, they didn't say like, oh, here he was on his deathbed. They were just like, he was nervous to talk.
But if you're like so nervous to talk on TV, he probably didn't even know like what he was saying when he said comma and period.
He's probably never even watched TV, you know? And he was couldn't picture what it was that he was supposed to be doing. So he was just reading his pre-written responses.
Could he have been like, he was a big drinker. Could he have been like drunk too?
Probably. He was an all day kind of drinker at that point.
They mentioned him in another round. They mentioned him. He would drink all day and then stop at 8 o'clock. So he would be able to get up the next day and continue to write and drink.
And drink.
Amazing. Yeah, he did his schedule. They touch on that he always wrote in the morning and then he was done by midday. And then he just had a fun afternoon. He'd like goof around with his kids and then he'd walk to a nearby bar, have some of these daiquiris and then cut himself off at 8. So he was like a functional alcoholic. Well,
who said write drunk, edit sober? Was that Hemingway?
That was me. I told you that.
Bukowski.
Don't do that.
Michael.
Don't do that. Don't ever do that. Write sober, edit sober.
It looks like it is...
Get drunk when the book sells.
It looks like it's falsely attributed to Hemingway often. I don't know who actually said it.
When I was taking UCB classes, we had... our teacher brought in a friend who was a professional comedy writer who you guys would know, but I'm not going to say his name. And then my teacher was like, so tell the class any tricks you have for writing. And he was like, well, you want to write a sketch, you do is you go to a bar... and you get really drunk and you write the sketch. And then you wake up the next morning, you don't remember the sketch. So you go to a coffee shop and you drink coffee while you sober up. And then you read it and you rewrite the sketch. And, like, and
if
he's
you do remember the sketch, you got to start from square one and you do it again right.
You shall never remember what you wrote. But then he walked out of the room and my teacher had to be like, okay, so I should mention that he's an alcoholic and that's his process, but you can figure out your own process.
That's crazy.
Yow.
Hemingway, man, you've done it. So he invented this?
Oh, Michael.
Oh, man, so it's two shots of rum. I don't know what's going on.
That's why I think that the recipe says two shots of rum, comma, lime, period.
Period.
Well, shall we do another round?
Yes.
Yeah.
We shall. We shall do it now.
Off we go.
Wait, Tim, what did you say a real daiquiri is? Sugar and lime and rum?
Yep.
All right, I'll try that.
Great.
Nice. And we're back talking our final thoughts on the Hemingway daiquiri.
You know what I was thinking before when Tim said he was in his mid 50s and 54. So this is a guy who's in his mid 50s in the mid 50s.
Wow.
It must be convenient when somebody asks, like, how old are you? And you're like, what year is it? Yeah, I'm 54.
Hey, how old are you? Check the calendar. Don't bother me.
Well, that's going to take more time for me to do. You seem like a tough person to be around.
Yeah, you think I'm tough, but wait till you hear me in an interview, comma.
Ooh, this is pretty good. So I made, an ounce of rum, half ounce of lime juice, and I did a half a teaspoon of sugar. It's pretty good.
Look at you, daiquiri boy.
That's a true daiquiri.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if the measurements are right for a true daiquiri, but.
Have you ever heard this word? I was watching a YouTube video with the bartender at La Floridita in Havana, Cuba, and he was making this drink, and he said he called this drink the daiquiri salvaje, and he goes, you know, a daiquiri salvaje, like that would translate to the Dicky daiquiri, Dicky. And I looked it up, and salvaje means wild, but then I was like, there were results for. Have you ever heard someone use the word Dicky as like kooky? Like,
no. I've heard Daffy.
Like dickish, Daffy. Like behaving like a dick.
Maybe, because I also then I couldn't find it like on Urban Dictionary or anything, but then I saw an article say that was like, it's called the Dicky Daiquiri for obvious reasons. I was like, the very reason I'm looking at this article.
What you have to do, you have to know a lot about the history of words, here and you look at the etymology of a word, and really you can. I think I don't know if we got that. Did your internet like cut out? I think my internet.
I think we might have lost that bit.
Oh no,
my mind is blown, Mike. I didn't know you knew all that stuff.
Yeah, hey, you pick it up when you read this much.
It was such a good idea for you to say we have to look at the etymology. I don't care if we ever get into what the etymology is, but wisdom.
No, I did, but my mic must have cut out or something.
No, and now like, that, I was listening the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how should we rate these things?
I love it.
Did you guys do variations on your second round?
I did a bit of a suicide because I fucked up on my first attempt. I have now learned to use the Jack Schramm method of always adding the smaller amounts of liquid first.
Yes.
And I once again got scrambled with the amounts of what? And I put too much Luxardo and I had to start over on my first round. So then for my second round, I just took the accident drink and I'm drinking that. And it's too sweet.
Too sweet.
Mm, mm-hmm. You know what you do is you put in the first ingredient and hey, maybe you put in a little too much. And then you put in the second ingredient and you're like, ooh, maybe a little too much of that. you keep adding until you get a nice filled cup.
Then your cocktail shaker is overflowing and you're still pouring liquor on top.
Well, what do you think? What do you think?
I'll go with mine. I was fine with mine. This thing's good too, but you guys aren't drinking this. The listener at home probably isn't drinking this.
Hey, try it. You at home, try it.
If you made the same mistake that me made, then
you
made.
Oh boy, here we go.
This is the linguist. This is our entomologist.
No, I spent so much energy explaining the etymology of dickish to
you're exhausted.
Dickweed to you or whatever we're talking about. Yes, if you've made a mistake on this drink, let us know. Not in the Discord.
In real life. Engage with your fellow man.
Yeah, stop looking at your phones and go talk to people for once. You know,
tell your neighbor. Tell them about the podcast that takes a deep dive into the drinks that you love.
Yeah, and get them to be a patron.
Jeff, I've been meaning to bring that up. We start every episode with you saying a deep dive into the drinks that you love. But 9 times out of 10, we're like, we've never heard of the drink. We never had the drink. We're making the drink wrong. The drink's ashy.
Tim, this would be a great thing to bring up when we're not fucking recording.
Okay, I won't remember it off air. So I'm just going to say, what if it's the drinks you're going to love?
We'll consider this.
But you might not love them, too.
All I ask is that it's filed and considered.
I'll run it up the flagpole, see what happens.
Great.
Okay, I think that this drink is good. I'd order it again.
Mm.
Not my favorite. It's a welcome stop on the tour.
good.
You know?
I would make it, I think I would make this to impress people. If I had people over and I said, you guys want some daiquiris? And they say, yeah. They say, how about some Hemingway special daiquiris? And they say, oh, Tim, you're like really cool.
This one tastes like the cherry tree, but not the cherry, the bark.
Our favorite part, the outer bark.
It's also a good drink too, because you say Hemingway and people are like, you know, I think I read some of him in high school. We had to read For Whom the Bell Tolls. Oh yeah, I read. Well, you know, he used to bullfight. That was a big deal.
That was a big deal for him.
It gives you just like a little bit of bullshit to talk about, and then the night's over and you can go home.
Yeah, and you say, everybody out, thank you. Don't let the door hit you or the good Lord split you.
So you guys are liking. Good.
Great.
We like.
Great.
We've had and we like.
Well, that's the end of the episode. Nothing else to do here.
I'm gonna pivot.
Oh, no, I was hoping you'd go, no, Mike, I got a quiz.
Stop the show. I have a quiz.
Stop the show.
I have a fucking quiz for once.
I have something.
It's finally my big moment.
Now, Michael, you brought up a Hemingway book just a moment ago.
For Whom the Bell Tolls, sure.
For Whom
sure.
The
Old
Bell
Man the Sea.
For Who the Bell Tolled.
For Who the Bell Tolls of.
Tolstoy.
Mike, when you uttered those 1, 2, 3
words,
you uttered those 5 simple words.
Yeah, it's very simple. That's what his writing was like. Go ahead.
Did you know that you would stumbled into the quiz?
Oh,
no!
Oh, I was hoping.
No.
When he uttered those words, I did say a little prayer that was the quiz.
That's right. It's the Ernest Hemingway quiz.
Holy shit. Are you going to ask him what he calls depression? Because he calls it the black ass.
No, Tim.
Damn.
I'm going to read you 10 titles. And you have to tell me if it's a work by Ernest Hemingway.
Oh, interesting.
Or the episode title from X-Men, the animated series.
Wow, that's a good one, Jeff.
Now, I mean, I know these X-Men episodes like the back of my hand, so process of elimination, I should be able to figure it out.
Yes, process of illumination.
And Mike knows the Hemingway.
Front and back.
Mike's the Hemingway guy.
Right. That's right. My God. Right now he's doing the sign of the cross every time we say Hemingway's name.
Question number one. Cold Vengeance.
X-Men.
Hemingway.
X-Men.
Yes! That's with the long pause, Jeff.
Weary of Jean and Cyclops' relationship, Wolverine travels to the Arctic, where he encounters a vengeful Sabretooth.
Ooh, and it's cold.
I like picturing the traveling part was, you know, Wolverine sitting on a train for a long time.
Well, you'll see that, you know, there's kind of a commonality between the drama in these names. Mm. Number two, The Old Man in the Sea.
Hemmers.
Hemingway.
Yep, and that one's Michael.
What?
He got it first.
I have a delay. It's a lag.
The short novel is the tragic story of a Cuban fisherman and the giant marlin he kills and loses. Number three, Red Dawn.
Hemi.
X-Men.
Tim, it is X-Men. Colossus finds his hometown destroyed by Omega Red.
His hometown. Again, just the idea of Colossus having a town.
He does. He's from Russia. Very good, Michael. Okay, number four. To Have and Have Not.
Hemingway.
X-Man.
Correct, Tim. It is Hemingway.
And so these are just going X-Men, then Hemingway. Then
no!
X-Men, then
Hemingway. Well, hey, if you want to gamble on that pattern, be my guest.
I do.
An honest man is forced into running contraband between Cuba and Key West as a means of keeping his crumbling family afloat.
I haven't read it, but I think that's the one where he was like trying to keep up with socialist writing in the 30s because it was the cool thing during the Depression. And he was like, I'll write a common working man story. And everyone's like, this sucks.
Write about that bullfighting.
Write about a marlin.
Number five, The Garden of Eden.
Hemingway.
X-Men.
Michael, very good.
Garden of Eden.
I did that because I knew.
The last uncompleted novel of Ernest Hemingway, published posthumously in 1986, charts the life of a young American writer and his glamorous wife who fall for the same woman.
Okay, but to be fair, if we were to get into the etymology and stuff like that, the Garden of Eden is a story from the Old Testament of the Bible.
Tim, do you want a half point?
I'll have a half side point. I'll decide whether I'm going to use it later.
Okay, great.
It's funny also that he's kind of going with the Cyclops has a town thing. Ernest Hemingway's first name is Ernest. And
he hated it.
He hated it?
Ernest goes to camp. There's Ernest of like Ernest goes to camp fame.
Yeah.
Making a mockery of
him. The dorkiest name of all. No, he hated it. He didn't want to be called, you know, everyone called him Papa and stuff. And then like, yeah, when he was having sex, he wanted to be called Catherine. And then he would call a woman Ernest. It's kind of the old Timothy Chalamet and Armie Hammer. And we all know that Armie Hammer has normal sexuality. Continue, Jeff.
Number six, Savage Land, Strange Heart.
X-Men.
That's a tie, folks. I don't know what to tell you. I heard those clear as a bell.
Mike, good game.
Oh, my God.
Yes, we all know that's the two-parter, which Storm finds herself trapped on a prehistoric island. Number seven.
Now, that sounds prehistoric island. That sounds X-Men. It doesn't have hometowns or travel. Or...
Seven. True at First Light.
Hemingway.
X-Men.
That's a Hemingway, Michael.
That's a Hemmer.
Fuck?
That's the dramatic fictional chronicle of his final African safari.
Ah, yes.
Hmm. Number eight. One Man's Worth.
X-Men.
Tim. Now, Tim, I know you. Did you watch X-Men, or are you just doing good?
I've never seen X-Men.
For real?
No, I know the theme song.
You're halfway there.
I've read Hemingway's novels, but I've never read his short stories. So I'm hoping that when you say his name, that it's not a short story.
One Man's Worth is a glimpse at an alternate world without Xavier, wherein the X-Men are led by Magneto. Number nine. Old Soldiers.
X-Men.
X-Men, damn.
That's Tim, that's X-Men.
Damn it.
A flashback episode. Wolverine fights alongside Captain America in World War II. Episode is written by Len Wein, Wolverine creator and co-creator of Swamp Thing.
And brother of Dean Wein.
Now, Jeff, I haven't been keeping track of the score, but do I have a snowball's chance in Havana to win this thing?
A chip dice. Daiquiri's chance.
You got Mike, you got 4 points.
I must have 400.
Tim's got 9.
And Tim has 6.5.
Oh. I haven't decided whether I'm going to use that half yet, though.
Right. So I don't know if there's a path to victory for you here, Mike, but I would appreciate it if you stayed in the game.
I'll give it my best shot.
You've got a fighter's spirit.
Mm-hmm. Number 10. Death in the Afternoon.
Hemingway.
God damn, Hemingway. Yeah, that's the T-Man. He got it.
That's the T-Man. He knows his Hemingway, and he knows his cartoons.
1932, an impassioned look at the sport of bullfighting.
Now, what made you pick X-Men? Jeff, did you know that they had these titles that were kind of Hemingway-esque?
Yes, I did.
You like, little... Oh, you fucker.
You're mad at that.
I was trying to think of like, what would be the other thing, you know, it's like, is it Hemingway or whatever? And you know what I was going to do was Dolly Parton songs because they both have Islands in the Stream.
Oh, would have been the trick one.
Funky.
That would have been the trick.
Every quiz has to have that old trick one.
The funny trick one.
Well, guys, that's a quiz. I hope you enjoyed it. And Tim, you got bragging rights, dude.
Great. And Mike, I'm not even using my side half point.
I know.
Just keep it in my pocket. It's going to roll over and I'll use it in a future quiz.
Shit. Well, I got a quiz for you guys. That's just like, it's more of a survey question. Who do you think is more of a hunk? Chris Hemsworth or Ernest Hemingway? Hemingway or Hemsworth?
Hemingway versus Hemsworth.
Now, is Chris Thor?
No, he's the nerdy guy from Ghostbusters.
That nerd.
Yeah. Versus the bullfighting Hemingway, not the one who's on that talk show that we listen to.
You know, I hate to do it, but I gotta go. I think Thor is a bigger hunk. It's possible.
But he's not Thor. He's it's when he's the nerdy guy. Oh God.
I'll go Hemingway.
Nice. Nice. And me, I will always vote Brad Pitt.
Oh, Mike,
a secret option all along?
All along.
Brad Pitt does not age.
Wrap it up.
Mike, hold on a second.
Sure.
I was saying something about how Brad Pitt doesn't age, but I also want to make another point of Paul Rudd. You're telling me that his birthday... comes and goes every year. Hey, I love, Paul Rudd rule. Everybody loves Paul Rudd. I love the gif of him from the Hot Ones saying, hey, look at us. Maybe my favorite gif.
I thought, like, I didn't know what Hot Ones was when I first saw that, and I thought he was drunk. It's just that he's like crying tears of like hot sauce.
He's steamed up from chicken.
But I haven't seen, what's the, the Hot Ones. Yes.
It's just, you know, I don't even know the context for the meme usage. I guess if you're proud of someone or you think they've come a long way, you post that gif and it's just him saying, hey, look at us. It's very funny. Rudd, you done it.
He's fun.
A message to you, Paul Rudd. You're very kind and polite to me the time I drove you to the airport when I was a production assistant.
Hey, Rudd, if you're hearing this, come on the pod and defend yourself.
Defend yourself against the outlanders claim.
To Tim.
I think you're a nice guy and I love your gif.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon, where subscribers can unlock The Sloppy Boys Blowout, our weekly bonus episode, and get access to The Sloppy Boys Discord. That's patreon.com/The Sloppy Boys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
What is up?
See ya.
Toodaloo.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.